That's the reason why.
That's the reason why I sing.
That's the reason why.
That's the reason why I sing.
That's the reason why I sing.
That's the reason why.
In the name of Jesus, thank you for giving us a reason to sing. We bless you. We thank you. We honor you. We give you glory and praise. Meet us in this moment as we preach your gospel. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Anybody got a reason to sing? Amen. To God our Father, Jesus our Savior, Dave, just a little bit more on the stage. To the Holy Spirit our Comforter, it's just good to be in the house of the Lord one more time. I want to thank God for our amazing pastor. Can we thank God for him today? Amen. He's been a mentor, a friend, a confidant, and he's just been a blessing in my life. And I just want to thank God for him. Amen. Amen. Words cannot even express what he means to me. And thank God for him. Amen. Yesterday we got a master's, y'all. Amen. Amen. So, just a little bit tired this morning, but I'm sure you all will help me preach today, won't you? Amen and amen. And I'm so glad to have my best accessory here with me. Amen. My sweetheart is here. Won't you stand and just wave at the people? Yeah. Amen. Thank you. Amen. And then I looked out and I saw my baby brother in church today. Come on, stand up, man. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I cannot believe him. Amen. Amen. I mean, I saw over there and I said, ain't nobody got a smile like Brian. I know that smile, eh? And man, just so glad to see you. Man, we're proud of you, bro. So proud of you and what you're doing. I thank God for you. Before we understood science, calendars, time, galaxies, and even the Earth's rotation, many of us were introduced in preschool to the language and reality of seasons. It is there where we learn that seasons were connected to change. And in their pursuit to educate us, somebody told us that because no season is like any other one, that in one season you put on shorts. In another season you put on a coat. In one season, leaves fall. In another season, flowers begin to bloom. In one season, the weather is warm. In another season, the temperature becomes colder. And perhaps if you walk outside and notice that it's 113 degrees, well, then you just live in Houston. And you need to run for your life to shade and safety. As children, we're taught how to recognize seasons by what changed around us. If the leaves were falling, it was fall. If the flowers were blooming, it was spring. If the snow was falling, it's winter. If the heat is rising, it's summer. But as we get older, life teaches us something about seasons, even after school has dismissed. Because you eventually learn that there are not only natural seasons, but there are spiritual seasons. seasons. There are emotional seasons, relational seasons, financial seasons, grieving seasons, waiting seasons, barren seasons, and yes, even hard seasons. Life teaches us that there are some seasons that you cannot identify by the changes in the weather, but rather you identify those seasons by what went missing. Well, how do you know you're in a hard season? You know you're in a hard season because hard seasons identify themselves when joy that you used to have is now harder to find. You know you're in a hard season when people that you used to lean on are no longer in your corner. You know it's a hard season when the strength that you used to have and used to feel is constantly on the decline. It's a hard season when the plans you made began to fall apart and the places that used to produce peace now produce pressure. And church, if you live long enough, you will discover that some seasons don't just tell you what the weather is doing around you. Some seasons strip you from every level of support that's beneath you. And somebody here knows what I'm talking about. Because when you look at your life, the confidence that you used to walk with is gone. The stability that you used to count on is gone. The normalcy that you used to know is now gone. The clarity that you used to count on is gone. The support that you expected is nowhere to be found. The life that you thought that you would be living by now has been reduced to an idea of the past. The job you counted on is gone. The relationship you thought that would last forever, gone. And oh, child of God, when life strips away enough from you, you will begin to ask a question that cannot be answered by a calendar, a paycheck, a position, or a person. And that question is, what do you do when God is all that you have left? And you cannot turn to anybody else and no place else for safety, security, or stability. Family, if that question feels familiar, then you're already in Habakkuk chapter number 3. Because Habakkuk is not writing from a season where everything is blooming. He's writing on the edge of a season where the previous visible support has reached its limit. In short, nothing is working. Habakkuk is in a season where everything that should be producing has now stopped producing. Habakkuk writes that the fig tree does not blossom. The vine has no fruit. The olive crops fails. The fields produce no food. The flock is cut off from the fold. The herd is missing from the stalls. Habakkuk is clear that this is not just a bad day. This is a hard season. This is not an inconvenience. This is a crisis on every level of surviving. And yet right there in the middle of what is missing, Habakkuk says, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. That's the tension of the text. That's the burden of the sermon. Habakkuk teaches us that when life has taken so much from you, you start to realize that our faith can still hold you together and God is still remaining on your side. And so that's what I want to talk about today. What to do when God is all that you have left? What to do when God is all that you have left? Our text today is found in Habakkuk chapter number 3, verses 17 through 19. Hear the words of Habakkuk. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor the fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, and the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herds in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in God, my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. First thing I need to tell you is you must realize what hard seasons reveal about your dependence. You must realize what hard seasons reveal about your dependence. Here in this passage of scripture, we're introduced to the Old Testament prophet Habakkuk. Let the church say Habakkuk. Habakkuk is identified as one of the minor prophets, not because that's the scope of his message, but rather because of the brevity of his book. Habakkuk's uniqueness lies in the fact that not only is he a prophet who has been commissioned to speak for God, but in response and protest to what God, what he sees within the land, he's one who wrestles with God. As Habakkuk surveys and wrestles with the current day and reality, the scenery that surrounds him is filled with that of violence, injustice, trouble, turmoil, and confusion. And because what he sees does not match what he believes about God, he is moved to a place to question God and ask God, why is God not moving like I've expected him to move? And as a consequence, Habakkuk learns quickly that it's not that God can't handle our questions, but rather we are often unprepared for his answers. Because when God responds to Habakkuk's questions, he says in so many words, he says, Habakkuk, the problem that you're talking to me about, let me just go and peel the fat off the meat and let you know that it's going to get worse before it gets better. Judgment is coming to Babylon, and the trouble that's ahead is going to affect the nation politically, but it's what's getting ready to come down the pipeline is going to touch everybody personally, similar to what's happening in America. God is clear with Habakkuk that in this season, no area of life will go untouched. Because the upcoming judgment will reach the fields, the flock, the stalls, the economy, the food supply, the normal places where people look for stability, support, and survival. So when we arrive at verse number 17, Habakkuk is not speaking poetically about a few bad crops that have gone bad. He's describing a crisis and a hard season where everything that was once dependable has either dried up, depleted, failed, emptied, or disappeared, or is just simply not producing anymore. And it is from that place that Habakkuk teaches and communicates us with what to do when God is all we have left. Because Habakkuk tells us, and by way of verse number 17, he helps us to read in between the lines that hard seasons don't just reveal what you lost, but hard seasons reveal what you were dependent on. Yeah, but because when you look at it, everything about Habakkuk's statement and everything that he aforementioned, the fig tree, the vine, the olive, the field, the flock, the herd, these are not just possessions, these were necessities. But the problem is that these are not just luxuries, these were necessities. And oh, child of God, the problem is with our churches today and in Christian believers is, it's not that you need necessary things or have necessary things. The problem is when necessary things become ultimate things. Let me say it this way. The problem is not that you have a job. The problem is when the job becomes your source. The problem is not with you having money. The problem is when your money becomes your security. The problem is not you having relationships. The problem is when people become the foundation of your identity. The problem is not having plans. The problem is when your plans become the piece of your basis of your peace and the piece of your basis. The problem is when people become more gods in your eyes than God himself. The problem is not that that you have support. The problem is that you're leaning on them for support and not leaning on God and his support. And all I'm trying to tell somebody is God knows you need necessity and necessary things, but God is saying don't let your necessary things become your ultimate things. And when life strips you from all of your sense of security, stability, you soon find out where your trust has been all along. Can I sit on your porch for a minute? You see, because it's easy to trust God when all is well and everything is going your way. It's easy to trust God when doors are opening, prayers are being answered, bills are being paid, relationships are healthy, opportunities are flowing, and life is producing the way you expected it to produce. It's easy to say God is good when everything is good. It's easy to say God will provide with a refrigerator full of food. It's easy to shout, won't he do it, when there are no storms raging in your life. But the question is, can you trust and depend on God when your car gets repossessed? Can you trust and depend on God when the job gives you the pink slip? Can you trust God when you have more debt than you have monthly income? Can you trust God when the diagnosis does not change? Can you trust God when you find yourself at a funeral procession of a loved one that you prayed for? Can you trust God when you were expecting a baby but you got a miscarriage? Can you trust God when your children go another way than what you raised them? Can you trust God when your marriage is on life support? Can you trust God when it doesn't go your way? Whatever the case, hard seasons reveal where you put your trust. And though, brothers and sisters, it seems like a hard season, a hard lesson, it's a holy lesson. And I came to tell you, sometimes the hard season that you're in don't just show you what you lost. It shows you what you leaned on too heavily. And sometimes God has to allow stuff to get hard so you can get holy. Yeah. But because you wouldn't pray if it didn't get hard. You wouldn't worship if it didn't get hard. You wouldn't have adoration. As a matter of fact, some of y'all wouldn't even be nice to folk if it didn't get hard. And so sometimes God will allow hard seasons to make you holier than what you are at the moment. And that's why Matthew 6 and 19 through 21 tells us that you ought not to lay up for yourself treasures on this earth, where moth and rust can destroy, where thieves can break and steal. He says, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where the moth and rust cannot destroy, where thieves do not break and steal. For where your treasure is, there is your heart also. And church, that's the gift and the grief of a hard season. The grief is that it hurts to lose something that helped you. But the gift is that God uses it to show you where your dependence was in order so that you can realign your dependence on him, so that you would know that God is enough. And if you just break down this morning, be honest with all of us in this room, and just tell somebody that it's in your hard seasons that God really showed you some stuff. It's in our extremities that God gives us opportunity to see him through new eyes. Church, it's in the difficult seasons where you really find out if you really rooted and grounded. But because when you're in a hard season, you can't just pray immature childlike prayers at bedtime and say, now I lay me down to sleep. It's a hard season, and so that means you can't worship because you feel like it. It's a hard season, and it means you can't show up because
you wanna show up. It means that you go way down in your soul and you pull a smoking knuckle and you say, I need you now. I've tried everything else. I've depended on everything else. I've ran out of ideas on how to pretend. All of this is coming together. I put my trust in the wrong places, in the wrong things, in the wrong people. And now, God, I'm broken on my knees and I need you like I've never needed you before. A hard season will show you that you need God.
Somebody can agree, because you know a hard season taught you what easy seasons never could. But at the end of it, your testimony was, thank God I went through it. Because if I never had a problem, I wouldn't know God could solve them. Matter of fact, I wouldn't know what faith in God can do. And so, church, it reveals to us where our trust has been, what we were depending on. Second thing I need to tell you is you must rejoice in God when you can't rejoice over life. Watch what Habakkuk said. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. The Bible says that Habakkuk names the particulars and the reality of the season that he's in. He begins to make known his position and his posture and his response to the season that he's in. Because Habakkuk knows that it not only matters that you endure, it matters how you endure. Realizing that you can't change the season. And you cannot change God, but what you can do is get yourself in a place where you can center, realign, and anchor your response in somebody who cannot fade, who cannot falter, who cannot fail, and who cannot fall. And that's why verse number 18 is so potent and so powerful, because it opens up with the one word and three letters. Hear what he says, yet. I like it because yet does not erase the reality of verse number 17. Neither does the word yet deny the difficulty that I'm going through in the season. Yet does not pretend that the figs have started to blossom again or the vine has started to produce again. But yet means that verse 17 is still true, but verse 17 don't get the last word. Verse 17 is not my conclusion. Verse 17 is not my end. And so I declare yet. I will rejoice. And old church, sometimes you've just got to open up your mouth and declare while the door is still closed, yet I will rejoice. Yet I will rejoice. The bills may still be due, but you got to declare, yet I will rejoice. The pain may still be present, but you open up your mouth and say, yet I will rejoice. The family may still be fractured, but yet I will rejoice. My future is still unclear, but yet I will rejoice. The situation has not shifted, but yet I will rejoice. The problem has not disappeared, but yet I will rejoice. My prayers are still not answered, but yet I will rejoice. My pressure has not lifted, but yet I will rejoice. The loss is still real, but yet I will rejoice. Tears still running on my face, but yet I will rejoice. Don't miss it, church. I'm done already. But because Habakkuk shows us that this ain't just a declaration. This is a decision. Because after you declare, you got to decide, I will rejoice in the Lord. This is not a circumstantial praise. I'm sorry for those of you who are here. This is not a convenient praise. This is not a praise that shows up when life feels good. This is a decided praise. This is the kind of praise David talked about when he said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And my challenge for us today is, listen, I understand you got praise because of, but the real question is, do you have praise in spite of?
I'm running in my seat. But listen, I know you praise him because he's been good, because your marriage is good, because your child graduated. But that's not the question today. The question is, can you praise him when all hell is breaking loose? What are you saying, Cam? I'm telling you that your joy can't be governed by your feelings. Your joy can't be held hostage by your circumstances. My joy is not waiting on life to get better before I give God glory. I'm going to give God glory in the middle of it. I'm about to run. JP, can I do it? I'm gonna give God praise right in the middle of it. And some of y'all ain't seen your deliverance yet because you waiting on the end of the situation. Maybe God is saying, if you just praise me right now, I'll do things that'll blow your mind. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, the good things that I haven't seen. You got to rejoice now. I'm running to my seat. My joy is not me pretending, but I made up in my mind that if this field don't ever fill up again, I made up in my mind if them flock don't ever come back again, I made up in my mind, I woke up with my mind stayed on Jesus, and my goal is not to pretend life is good. My goal is to remember that God is still good in the middle of it, and through it all, I've learned to trust and depend on him. Somebody needs to hear me clearly. I'm not telling you that you're going to celebrate everything that happens to you. Neither am I telling you that's what this text demands. He says he's teaching us how to position and find joy in the midst of our hard seasons. Matter of fact, when God is all you have left, you still got a reason to rejoice. That's what arrests my attention about verse 18. It's a decision to rejoice. And watch this. He tells us the location of your joy. He says, in the Lord. Maybe somebody's word today is you need to learn how to put your joy in a better place. Some of us, we put our joy in unsafe, vulnerable places, people, things that moth can rust. And brothers and sisters, can I tell you, when you put your joy in your money, it'll fade. If you put your joy in your children, they will disappoint you. If you put your joy in this crazy political system, they will elect Donald Trump. You better find somewhere else to put your joy. My joy is in the Lord. And some folk are mad because you got joy and they ain't got no joy. But this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. And for those Christians who say, well, I'm just dealing with so much right now. You don't understand, Pastor Cam. Well, the problem is, if we're called to make disciples who make disciples, who will go out and make some more disciples, then the problem is sometimes people don't receive you, not because there's something wrong with your message. Sometimes there's something wrong with your demeanor. What are you saying, Pastor Cam? What I'm really trying to say is Christians without joy are unattractive. And so you've got to have the commitment to rejoice in the Lord. Third thing, and I'm done. When God is all you have left, you must rely on God for strength to keep moving forward, to keep going forward. After Habakkuk lets us know what's missing in verse number 17, where to find joy in verse number 18, he shows us you can keep going in verse number 19. Look at what he says. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me to walk upon my high places. In other words, church, don't miss this, that Habakkuk says that I may not have fruit. I may not have the fields. I may not have the flock. I may not have the herds, but I still have strength because I still have God. Because when you're going through a hard season and God is all that you have left, you don't just need a song for Sunday. You need strength for Monday. Yeah. Habakkuk teaches us that you don't just need joy for the journey. You need strength for your steps. And let me be clear and tell somebody this carefully. God's strength doesn't always feel like shouting. But sometimes the strength of God looks like getting out of bed when grief told you to get back under the cover. Sometimes strength looks like showing up when your heart is still heavy. Sometimes strength looks like praying again after the disappointment has filled your heart and made you to be quiet. Sometimes strength looks like pressing your way to church when you got every reason to stay at home. Sometimes strength looks like not quitting when quitting is the most logical answer. Sometimes the strength looks like taking one more step when you got tears in your eyes, but you got faith in your heart, because God is my strength. And I tell you this, church, strength ain't always loud, but it's always enough. Habakkuk closes this good talk today. He says he will make my feet like hinds' feet. That word hinds is a deer. Church, that is significant because a hind is a deer. It's an animal that's known for having sure, stable, secure footing in dangerous, rocky, elevated places. Watch this, church. Deers walk up mountains like we walk on sidewalks. Because when God created them, he crafted and suited their feet for their environment. In other words, Habakkuk is saying, in this season, God will give me feet, the kind of feet that can handle any difficult terrain. And I don't know who I'm preaching to, but you know I'm preaching to you, because somebody's word today is that sometime God won't move your mountain, but God will give you the strength to climb it. And I hear somebody from Birmingham pulling on my leg saying, preach this. Listen, they're saying, Lord, don't move my mountain. Just give me the strength to climb. Lord, don't take away my stumbling blocks, but lead me all around. But because, church, here's what I'm trying to say to you, that God sometimes won't change what's around you, but he will fix the feet that are under you so that you can endure the season. Who am I preaching to? Who understands it's a hard season, but God been holding me up? Oh, brothers and sisters, and here's my testimony as I move on from this place. For every mountain you brought me over, for every trial you've seen me through, for every blessing, hallelujah, I'll give you the praise. He'll make me to walk on high places. High places are not easy places. Matter of fact, the higher you go up, the more vulnerable you become. They're elevated places that will cause you to slip. And oh, church, all I'm trying to encourage somebody down your row and tell them God's going to give you the strength to keep on going. That's all I really came to tell you is God will give you the strength to keep on going. And so I came to tell you in verse number 17, the field is empty. Verse number 18, the jar can still be full. But verse number 19 tells us you can still keep on moving. Let me review the lesson again. Number one, listen, the field may be empty. But number two, the jar can still be full. Number three, God will keep you walking and moving. Y'all still slow. I used to be slow too. Number one, that the field may be empty. Number two, the jar is still full. But number three, God can keep me walking. I'm trying to encourage somebody that it may not be working out right now. if your joy may be depleted, but if you trust in him, God will keep your feet moving. Is there anybody here who say, I don't know how I wake up, I don't know how I get it done, I don't know how I made it through, but God has been my strength. So I'm closing now, going on my seat now, but I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There's been times I didn't know right from wrong, but in every situation, God gave me blessed consolation that my trials come to make me strong. That's brothers and sisters, that's all I'm trying to tell you, that my trials have come to make me strong. I've been a lot of places, I've seen a lot of faces, and yes, there were lonely times too, but Jesus is in my lonely hours. He lets me know that I am his. And so my testimony is, through it all, through it all, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to take him at his word. Where are you today? Maybe you're in the balcony, maybe you're on the lower floor, but can you shout with me and rejoice with me and say, through it all, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. He never said it would be easy. He never said you wouldn't have troubles. He never said that you were going to go through and everything was going to be dandy, but he did say, I'll never leave you or forsake you. What you're saying, Pastor Cam? You still have enough. Look at a neighbor and encourage your neighbor and say, you still have enough. Come on, look at another neighbor and tell them, you still have enough to keep worshiping, to keep standing. You got enough to keep moving. You got enough strength to keep walking. You got enough to keep believing. You got enough to keep praying. You got enough to keep preaching. You got enough to keep singing. You got enough to keep serving. Look at somebody and say, you still got enough. I wish I had a church in here who say, I got enough still. Because if I only have God, I still got enough. If my family leave me, I got enough. If my job leaves me and I have God, I've got enough. And so if the fig don't blossom, if the vine has no fruit, if the yields have no food, if the flock is cut off, if the herd is gone, I will rejoice in the Lord. If the job closes, I'll rejoice. If the money is tight, I'll rejoice. If the tears are falling, I'll rejoice. If grief gets heavy, I'll rejoice. Why? Because it brought me through too much. Did you hear what I said? He's brought me through too much to give up now. Why would I quit now? Why would I throw in the towel now? Why would I lose my mind now? I've been through too much, and he's blessed me. He's kept me. He's never left me. And if you need a reason today, he woke me up this morning. Started me on my way. Put food on my table. Put clothes on my back. He put joy in my heart. And if he never does anything else, he's already done enough. So praise him, praise him, praise him. Because he's good, because he's God, because he's worthy, because he's enough. Where are the praises who say, I ain't got everything, but I have enough? Yourself. Get up in the morning, look in the mirror, and say, Jireh, you are enough. You are enough. Yes, sir. Yes. Yes. I'm sorry. That's Alabama preaching. Y'all ain't used to that. But yeah. You're enough. You're enough. And when I've lost everything, God, you are enough. So I'm gonna keep walking. I'm gonna keep praising. I'm gonna keep praying. And I'm gonna have some joy that the world didn't give to me. I'm gonna have some peace you can't get on Amazon. I'm gonna have, listen, matter of fact, somebody here, you've been worrying so much, you need to take yourself out today. Get you a nice healthy steak. Have you some communion. Hallelujah. And say, God, you are enough. I'm the one that wanted more. I wanted this, that, and the other. But God, you've been trying to tell me all along, I'm enough. Thank you, choir, for singing what you did today, because God was trying to really tell us through the music today. He was trying to tell us through the sermon today, I'm enough. You got enough. And I'm going to help you. Just like that deer, we walk on sidewalks like this. And as we walk like this, deers are able to do just like this. And God is saying, that's what I'm going to do for you in this season. The season may not change, but you're going to run up that mountain. You're going to get there. So if you're here today, JP, come on. If you're here today and you've been in this hard place, and you're wondering how you're going to get through this hard season, I want to introduce you to somebody who's going to help you make it through this hard season. If you don't have some holding you together right now, you are apt to lose your mind. But you can't have joy in the Lord if you ain't in the Lord. And some of us, we fighting. And God is showing you ain't winning. It ain't working no more. So just give it up. Throw in the towel so I can strengthen you. Throw in the towel so I can make you better. So I can put you on mountains. And you look down the mountain and say, nobody but God did that. If you're here today, we're waiting on you. God, so that God can give you the strength that you need. Don't you debate about it. Don't sit there and let the devil win one more time. God wants to give you strength. God wants a relationship with you. And God wants you to have a life where you can rejoice. Life ain't just about enduring, it's about enjoying too. And the only way you're going to be able to enjoy that is be in the Lord. Bless you, my sister. Bless you, my sister. There's so much joy in Jesus Christ. He's a doctor in the sick room, lawyer in the courtroom. And He knows how to handle what you can't handle. Somebody here knows he's all you got left. And he's stripping you down. He's letting every system fail, every friendship. You arguing with everybody right now. You mad at mama, best friend. Ain't no none of your relationships together. Because you ain't got one that's sustaining all of those relationships. So if you're here today, we're going to sing. We're going to continue to give you the invitation. But today's your day. Receive the joy of the Lord. You know what I've been praying lately, y'all? Lord, show me how great. Show me how good it can get. Surprise me in ways that blow my mind. Listen, I'm tired of praying about problems. Lord, show me how good it can get. And today is the first step to it getting good in your life. Come on, let's sing. Let's keep extending the invitation to Christ. Come on, come on. Say, Jireh.
Is still on the table. Whoever else is ready to make that move toward the Lord, come on. We're waiting on you. Don't debate with the devil. Don't dialogue with him. Don't delay. Don't let him fool you into thinking this is not your time to come God's way. Make a move. Make a move. Make a move. I'm going to tell y'all something that I realized recently. When Adam and Eve were in the garden and the snake was talking to Eve about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the tree of life was close by. They actually had access to both of them. But because they listened to the enemy, they made the wrong choice. Why am I bringing this up? Right now, somebody... choice is on the table for you. You've been listening to the enemy for a while, letting him take you a direction that is not of God, letting him give you some results that will get you hit, letting him take you to a place that is not in your best interest. But God says life is available to you also. You have equal access to it. All you have to do is make the choice. So right now, as we sing this song of invitation again, anybody in this room who is ready to make the choice of coming God's way, make your move. Don't wait till you get home. Don't wait until you get in the parking lot, because the word also says that the enemy will steal that seed that God has planted before it has a chance to take root. Make now your moment. So as we sing this again, put action to your feet. Let your steps bring you to the altar. Don't wait on it. Let's make a move.
So you are enough. You are enough. Oh, Jireh. So you are enough.
You are enough.
So I will be content.
I will be content.
Every circumstance.
It ain't your paper. It ain't your politics. It ain't your position. It's him. He's all All right. We're going to do this for everybody in the room. There's enough people in this room that will probably admit that this is a hard season. There's enough people in this room that will probably admit there's a certain amount of fear that's hanging out with you on a regular basis because of what you see is happening. Bless you, sister. Bless you, sister. For everybody in the room who's been wrestling with this thing, for everybody in the room who's probably been watching way too much news than what is good for you, for everybody in the room who's been well informed on what's going on in this country, specifically against a lot of us, we're going to pray this thing out. We're going to pray this thing out. Times like this, this is when you really got to recognize that God is bigger than whatever you're seeing on TV. God still got power over the presidency, over political parties, over whatever is trying to go down right now. God is still in control. We cannot forget that in times like this. So everybody, bow your heads. Let's go to the Lord. Dear God, our Father, Master, first of all, we thank you for those that you have brought down. We thank you for those that you have let make a move in your direction. Father, whatever they need, we know they can find it in you. God, we ask right now that you would bless them in only the ways that you can. Father, regardless of what is coming up short, regardless of the turmoil in their lives, let them see you. And Father, right now, I am praying for peace for everybody in the room. God, times look crazy right now. Things are going strange. It seems like we're taking 5 steps backward for the 2 steps that we took years ago. But right now, God, we are committing to the fact that you are still on the throne. God, you will not be impeached. You will not be voted out of office. You will not run out your term and take a seat. God, you are still on the throne. Nothing has changed before. Nothing will change now because you are God. Father, we ask that you would let us see you in the midst of all the turmoil. Father, let us remember that you are stronger than anything we will ever come up against. And let us realize that the safest place to be is with you. God, please continue to love us, continue to keep us, continue to teach us how to move in your direction. Continue to let us be refilled with that joy that can only come from you. Continue to strengthen us to keep moving day to day. God, we love you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Give God some glory for those that have come.
Keep on praising him. We've been blessed with a powerful word. The preacher showing up preached. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Cam, for letting the Lord use you in a powerful, powerful way. Amen. On this day, Jireh is enough. Somebody needs to repeat that all week long. He's enough. Yeah, he's enough. All right, church family.